right. Good morning, good morning. So as y'all saw in the clip, kind of talking about some pride, we threw Muhammad Ali up there. My dad was a huge boxing fan. So as a kid, I grew up watching boxing and learning about Muhammad Ali. And at the beginning, y'all didn't get to hear the clip. The sound wasn't working that well at the beginning. But that was where he said his famous line, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. And, you know, that's where him and his partner walking down the aisle said, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Ah! Hey, that was Muhammad Ali. Like, he's known for his flair, his confidence, some would call it arrogance, and we would call it pride. But just to clear the air, this is in no way judging Muhammad Ali or anything like that. We just thought, we were thinking, what movie can we use where somebody is very prideful and boastful, and who better than but Muhammad Ali whenever you're about to step in the ring with him, and he's talking trash to you the best way he knows how. So if you want, break out your sermon outline. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs all summer long. That's where we're at today. You'll find every note in there is coming from Proverbs. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to get started. But before we do, let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you so much for just waking us up this morning, for bringing us to church, Lord, for giving us a church home to come to. Lord, I thank you so much for just being, for being our first love, for first loving us. Before we even knew what love was, you loved us, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would be with us, that you would open our hearts, our ears, our minds, Lord, to your message, that you would draw us closer to you through your word, Father God, and that we would just humbly just lay down whatever baggage we're carrying right now at the foot of the cross, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 So for those of you who don't know me, most everybody here knows me, knows that I was in the Marine Corps. Well, the Marines, like Muhammad Ali, are known to be prideful, right? We walk a little taller, our strut is a little smoother, right? There's some sayings in the Marine Corps that every Marine knows. You know, once a Marine, always a Marine. It's something that we carry around with us till the day that we die, and then even further, because we teach our kids to say it too, and so our legacy lives on. Another thing that we joke around with is we're a Department of the Navy. The men's department is another proud thing that we say. Yeah, we got Navy guys in here that don't like that too much. There's a lot of ugly Marines out there until they put on their dress blues, and then they're irresistible. Our uniform is the best looking uniform out of all the services. And then you have, you know, we're just the baddest fighting force in the world, right? It's just, everybody knows that, right? And so we say it, we tell everybody about it. And then, of course, you have the slogan, the few, the proud, the Marines, right? So we've been known to kind of have this pride about us, this borderline arrogance. But we also know that it's not of our own doing, right? I'm not a proud Marine because of what I did. I know that I'm just part of the legacy. I'm part of the men and women that came and served before me, and I get to carry on the name. And so that's where the pride comes from, right? And so today, we're going to be talking about pride and humility. And I call it the root and the remedy. And in the book of Proverbs, we see pride spoken about in a very negative sense. There's nothing good that says, oh, the proud will be rewarded. There's nothing in Proverbs that will say that. So, but it brings me to the first point in our outline, if you want, is pride is intrinsically good. At the heart, pride is intrinsically good. Now, let me clear the air, just in case you don't believe me. In Genesis, we see God creating, right? We see God creating the earth. We see God forming land and separating the waters. And after he creates something, he looks at it and he says, this is good. And he creates something else and he says, this is good. And then he creates man and he says, this is very good. And what he's doing, he's looking at his creation, he's saying, I'm proud of that. Look what I just created. And let's be honest, if you created dry land out of nothing, you'd be pretty proud of yourself too. Right? And if you don't believe me, ask a parent whenever they hold their first child. The feeling of pride when they hold their first child. Oh, I'm so proud to be a parent. Right? So, at the heart, pride is intrinsically good. When one of your friends or relatives graduates from kindergarten or high school, I'm proud of that person. They get to leave my house now. I'm proud, right? Or you get a job. I'm proud. Again, this being proud is intrinsically good. It's a good thing for us to be proud, right? And what we have to understand is evil, right? Or evil or bad, right? Is just a perversion of good. That's all it is, right? The evil that we do, or the bad things that we do, is our perversion of good. We turned what was supposed to be good and we made it into bad, right? Sex is intrinsically good. It was a gift from God. It's intrinsically good. We get to appreciate it. We get to reproduce because of it. But because of our flesh, we create it into something bad. We make it into something bad. Food is intrinsically good. It's nourishing, it gives us energy, it builds our muscles up, but what we do is we pervert it and we make it into something bad. We make it into a coping mechanism or a medication for emotions that we don't want to face, or we get addicted to food, whatever it may be. Right? And so pride is the same thing. It's intrinsically good that was perverted by Satan. Right? And so in Isaiah, here we see the root of it. It says, Isaiah 14:12 says this, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Pride. You see, Satan wasn't just happy to be sitting or guarding or being next to God. He wanted to be God. That's pride. I think I can do what you do, God. I see what you're doing, and I think I can do it. So I'm going to raise myself to a position above you because I think I can do better than you. That's what pride is. I'm raising myself. I'm exalting myself. I'm making myself better than others, or making myself better than you. And see, and pride is the root of sin. It was pride that caused Satan to rebel. It was pride that said Adam and Eve wanted to be like God. It's pride that causes us to sin on a daily basis. You see, if we believe God and believe all that He is, we sin regardless, and we expect grace and forgiveness in return. That's pride. I expect you to forgive me because of who I am. And that's pride. See, but the remedy, the alternative to pride is humility. Now, I'm not sure where I read this, Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or some other social media platform, but it said that humility is not to think of yourself as less, but to think of yourself less. So, in other words, don't think lowly of yourself. Don't have a negative self-image. Rather, just don't think of yourself all the time. Right? And that's kind of what humility is. Just stop thinking that it's all about you. And so, in Proverbs, we see humility is often correlated with like the lowly or the oppressed, the afflicted, the poor in spirit. And so today we're going to look at this dichotomy between pride and humility, right? And we all struggle. Let's just get this out there. Let's confess our sins. We all struggle with some form of pride. And if you think you don't, you just proved my point. Right? We all struggle with some form of pride. So, point one, where you go, pride thinks you have rights, humility understands we have privileges. Pride thinks you have rights, humility understands that we have privileges. Right? Big difference. So, the proud, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. So it appears this way because we want it to appear this way, right? Satan, it appeared to him that he could do God's job. I can do that. I should be God. I think I would look better at God's position than God would. And what did it do? It led to death. In the end, Satan loses. Done, right? So, as Americans, we kind of have this mentality too. We think, I'm American, I have all these rights, right? But if we look at the big picture of things, as Christians, we're not of this world, right? We have privileges. We were blessed to be born in America. And if you're not born from here, you were blessed to be brought into America or immigrated into America. In no way do you have a right to say anything. You have a privilege as an American. You were blessed to be born here. You have no right to take the next breath that you're about to take, that you just took. You have no right to get into your car and drive away. It's a privilege. Your driver's license can get taken away. Your life can get taken. Your ability to speak can be taken away. Your ability to see can be taken away. Privileges. That's what we have. The pride think that they're rights. I have the right to speak. I have the right to see. Go ask somebody that can't see or that can't hear if they have the right. And ask them how they feel. They're going to say, you're blessed that you can see. You're blessed that you can speak. It's a privilege to be able to be up here. It's a privilege to be able to worship God in freedom. It's not a right. It's a privilege. And so, you know, again, the humble understands that forgiveness is a gift rather than a right. The proud say, I have accepted Jesus. I deserve forgiveness. Again, it's a privilege to be forgiven. Grace is a privilege that is freely given by God. And He offers it to us for us to be able to take. But in no way is it a right. We have no rights as human for forgiveness. Because of our sin, all we deserve is death. Every day we do things that separate us from God. Yet every day, because of His grace and because of His love, we are given the privilege of forgiveness and grace to be drawn back into Him. And so, the humble understands this, and the humble understand that all are created in God's image, that all of us are created in God's image. Thus, because of that, everybody should be respected and loved. Regardless of who you are, what you do, who you follow, where you come from, what you speak, what you look like, what you dress like, you're just like me. We're all created in the image of God. And so the humble just understand that it's a privilege to be next to such a diverse group of people, to worship with a diverse group of people, to go to work with people that don't know God, that do know God, that know some other God. It's a privilege to be in these circumstances. Point two builds on that because the pride say that it's all about me. The prideful say it's all about me. The humble says that it's all about God. Proverbs 18:2, the proud or the fool says, find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. The fool, right? So you see in Proverbs you have this, that there's the fool and then there's the wise. Well, one of the attributes of the fool is his being prideful, right? So the prideful say that there's no pleasure in understanding. All they want to do is tell you about their opinions, especially during election years. Amen all by myself on that one, right? They just want to tell you about their opinions. They don't care about your opinions. Let me tell you about my political party. I don't care about your political party. Or let me tell you about how I feel about this. Let me tell you about what this means to me. And so the pride for them, it's all about them. They'll say whatever they have to say to get their point across. They'll hurt you if they need to hurt you. They'll talk bad about you if they need to talk bad about you. They'll call names if they need to call names. Whatever it takes to get their agenda across, because it's all about them. Now, let's clear the air. I'm not just talking about non-believers. Because there's a lot of Christians that struggle with pride. One of them standing up here talking about it today, right? So we have to understand that everybody struggles with this. Everybody struggles with this battle of it's all about me or it's all about God. This is a battle that wages war in us all the time. Do I do what I want to do or do I do what God wants me to do? Do I say what I want to say or do I say what God wants me to say? And so again, in this, we have the prideful just saying that it's all about me. I'm going to tell you how I feel. I'm going to tell you where I stand. I'm going to tell you why I think I'm right. Or they don't even tell you why they think. They just say that I'm right. Right? They don't even give you a chance to be right. But they don't really want to listen to you. Right? And so, but the humble, Proverbs 19:17 says this: whoever is kind to the poor lends to the poor. Right? Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the poor. And you're thinking in your heart, oh, I'm humble. I've given to the poor before. Right? Yes and no. Humility isn't just a one-time act, just like pride isn't a one-time act. Humility is a lifestyle. Right? So it'd be like I could say, I went and gave $20 to a homeless man, took a selfie with it, put it on the big board so everybody could see and say, hey, look what I just did. I just gave a homeless man $20. Pat me on the back. That's not humility. You'd be like, well, he gave $20 to somebody who needed it. That's not humility, because again, it's all about me. I want you to see what I did. Humility is, as Jesus says, he says, and if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. It's humility, saying, look, I'm just going to offer whatever I can offer, and that's it. I'm not expecting anything in return. I'm going to love you regardless. I don't care if you love me back. I'm going to give you forgiveness. I don't care if you forgive me or not. That's humility. I'm going to serve you even if you can't serve me. I'm going to help you out even if you can't ever help me out in days to come. It doesn't matter. That's not what it's about. You see, in Hebrew, the proud, right, are this is kind of this status that want to keep themselves elevated above other people, right? It means to exalt oneself, to ascend oneself. So that way, you're kind of looking down on people. So you're kind of exalting yourself over the community. The proud say, ah, oh, look at those poor people. Sucks to be them. Where the humble are viewing everybody on the same playing field and trying to elevate that playing field. That's what they're doing. They're saying, okay, we're here. How can we make ourselves better? How can we make this community of believers better? How can we draw closer to one another? How can we bring them closer to God? How can we teach them about Jesus? That's what the humble is about. It's about bringing the community closer together and lifting them all up together to draw closer to God. Where the pride say, I'm already close to God. I don't really care about you. You can stay where you're at. I'm good. I've accepted Jesus. You should think about doing the same. But I'm not going to teach you how to do that. Just stay where you're at. And so that's where the proud and the humble are. And so, which brings me to point three, is pride hinders healing. And the humility accepts discipline. Right? Proverbs 13:3 on this, it says, whoever scorns instruction will pay for it. The NLT, I like how the NLT says it. People who despise advice are asking for trouble. So, again, you can call it advice, instruction, counseling, whatever you want to call it. It's for our good, right? So, I go to the doctor, You know, they always make you step on the scale. Like, let me make you feel worse about yourself before I see you. So I go, I step on the scale. You know, I'm all of 5'2". I step on the scale. You know, I try to empty my pockets so I don't weigh as much. Like, can I put these on, you know, because my keys and phone weigh a lot. So I put them on the side. And, you know, I look at the scale. You know, I'm like, woo, I'm pushing 190. Right? I go. Doctor has my blood results back. You have high cholesterol. Popeyes will do that to you. Right? So he says, you might want to stop eating Popeyes and carne asada fries. You might want to stop being my doctor. Right? And so, but the pride in me says, who are you to tell me what I can and can't eat? Who are you to tell me about my health? This is my body. I'll do with it what I want. Right? I'm not hurting nobody. That's the pride in me. And if you've never been there, it's okay. But this is me. That's the pride. Who are you to tell me about my health? Right? And we really think that it's not hurting anybody. We really think that whatever we're going through isn't hurting anybody. Right? And then all of a sudden, if I keep continuing on the path, I have high blood pressure, my high cholesterol, I gain weight, I get diabetes because it runs in my family, I have heart problems. Next thing you know, I'm dead like at 50. I just affected a lot of people. Can't play with my kids no more. Right? Kids don't have a dad. All because I was too proud to admit that my eating habits weren't the best eating habits. You see, the proud, the ones that suffer with pride, hinders healing. And I'm just not talking about food, right? Some of us have struggled with food. I love food. I love bacon. I love carne asada. But I'm just not talking about food. I'm talking about sexual trauma, addictions, marriage problems, relationships. See, the proud say, it's really not that big of a problem. Next thing you know, you're in counseling, it's too late, there's a divorce, or it's drawing a wedge between you and your kids, whatever it may be. You see, addicts have this saying, I don't have a problem. Everybody else around them sees that they have a problem except the addict, because they're too proud to admit that they have a problem. When we're too proud, we're hindering the healing that God wants to do in us. And we have to understand that this healing can come through multiple means, right? It can come through the doctors telling us, hey, you're getting a little overweight there, your cholesterol is high, you might want to do something about it. Here, take this, or change your eating habits, you know, or through counseling sessions, and we have psychologists or psychiatrists that say, hey, try working on these. Here's some medication that might help you out a little bit better. God helps through these means, but sometimes our pride is just too high. We really don't want to listen to these things. And so we're hindering the healing that God wants to do in us. But the humility accepts discipline. The humble accepts discipline. It says this, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Or the NLT, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. I'm not saying that the prideful are stupid. I'm not saying that. The Bible is. You can take that up with God if you have a problem with it. But if we really want to be healed, if we really want to be made in the image of God, we'll accept discipline. We'll accept counsel, wise counsel. Right? We'll accept when somebody is calling us out on something and say, you know what, I probably should change my eating habits. You know, Popeyes 5 times a week really isn't doing it for me. I'll cut it down to 4. You know, whatever it may be. But you'll accept the discipline. You'll humble yourself to say, you know what, you're right. It's hard to say those words. Right? It's hard to say, oh, you were right. Don't believe me, ask somebody who's married and has to say that to their wife. Oh, you were right. Right? It's a hard thing to say. You were right. I should probably make adjustments. I should accept this discipline. And discipline's not easy. It's hard. Discipline's hard. Right? It's hard to eat It's hard to change years of eating habits. It's hard to change years of emotional habits. It's hard to change years of how I react to certain ways. It's hard. But it's worth it because it brings healing. Right? And so that's what we want, to be made in the image of God. And so the humble accepts this discipline because we want to be healed. We want to be made in God's image. Right? And so, point four, because you think that you have rights, because that it's all about you, and because that you refuse to be healed, the pride stops pursuing. And humility pursues. The pride stops pursuing. Proverbs 21:3. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. You see, again, pride is a status. It's a status that says, I'm above you. I'm better than you. Or, I don't think I need you. I'm okay without you. I don't need God. I'm good. I don't have any problems. I don't need Jesus. He ain't ever did nothing for me. Or, I don't need the church. Or, I don't need doctors. I don't need healing. I don't need to change my eating habits. I don't need to go to counseling. That's a status. You're putting yourself above what you think God can do for you. You're saying, my way is better than God's ways. And because of that, you view people kind of in that light too. You're saying, well, I'm not going to help you. I'm good. I'm good. I don't need you. I don't need to help you. And so the proud stop pursuing. We stop living out the Great Commission. Right? Why should we pursue someone who doesn't deserve forgiveness? Why should we pursue someone who's living a homosexual lifestyle? Why should we pursue someone who's Muslim? This is how the pride think. I'm better than those people because I've accepted Jesus. I'm good. I don't need to pursue them. They just need to repent, or they need to do whatever they do. But I'm not going to go pursuing them because what they're doing is wrong. Let me tell you, what you were doing before you accepted Jesus was wrong. What you do every day that's not in God's will is wrong. And yet God pursues you. Amen. Every day He's pursuing you. But the proud think that they don't have to pursue these people, right? They shut their ears and eyes to the people around them that need Jesus. Mainly for two reasons. One, because they have Jesus and they really don't care about anybody else. And they can make an argument for this. You say, well, I care about other people. Look at their actions, and look at your actions. Do you really care to pursue people? Do you really care to get down and dirty with the people who don't love Jesus? Do you really care to go and as one of my old professors says, get messy with the world? Right? You see, Jesus got messy with the world. You see, he was humble. The humble rescue those being led away to death and hold back those staggering towards slaughter in 24:11. Or it says, if your enemy is hungry, give them food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head and the Lord will reward you. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. See, it was the humble who lowered himself from the riches of heaven to the poverty of the land. Not born into royalty, but unto this lowly carpentry family with no place to lay his head. Instead, he goes around his country and he preaches the good news. He says, the kingdom is near. Follow me. And with grace and with truth and with love, he delivers this message. And then without a fight, he gives himself up for the sake of others. And on the cross, this humble man kills pride. And he says, I'm willing to get messy with those that don't believe. I'm willing to come and get my feet dirty. And not just get my feet dirty, but wash the feet of others whose feet are dirty. I'm willing to get messy to tell you about my God. To tell you about Jesus. I'm willing to have dinner with sinners. I don't care what people think. You struggle with sexual impurity? I'll get messy with you. Come talk to me. I'll forgive you. I'm not going to throw a stone at you. You see, the humble pursues. They keep on pursuing, and they don't stop pursuing. Now, at the bottom of your outline, you'll see the consequences for pride and the rewards for humility. And again, these are all out of Proverbs. The consequences for the proud: disgrace, defeat, and death. I promise I didn't mean all those to be D words. I've been listening to Wayne too long. Disgrace. Again, this is you drag your own name through the mud. Nobody does it for you. When you're part of the proud, you drag your own name through the mud. Disgrace means that you become a nobody. That you have no name among the community because of what you're doing. Right? And then you have defeat. Your unwillingness to be healed, you will utterly be broken. You will be left alone. And then death. Right? The haughty spirit, before the haughty spirit comes the fall, right? You'll die. It just leads to destruction. And then the rewards for the humble: honor, victory, and life. You'll be honored. Now, Proverbs isn't a book of promises. All right, you can't read Proverbs and think, "Oh, if I'm humble, I'll be honored. People are going to love me." Nah, probably not true. Jesus was humble. They hated him, and they hung him on a cross. All right, Proverbs isn't a book of promises. It's a book of wisdom. That if you live this way, chances are you're going to have a better life. All right, so you will be honored. Guaranteed in the next life, can't guarantee this life. Right? There will be victory in this life and in the next life. Your willingness to accept discipline and instruction and correction, you will defeat some of these demons that have been haunting you for years. You know, if it's weight problems, you'll be able to defeat the weight problems. If it's sexual trauma, you'll be able to defeat the sexual trauma. If it's anger, you'll be able to defeat anger. Whatever it is, you'll be able to start having victory in these areas. And then you'll have life, right? John 10:10, I've come to bring life and bring it to the full. You'll have life in this one and the next one, because what you'll begin to understand is that I'm bringing, right, through God, I'm bringing heaven down to earth and offering life to other people. And that is the way to live. That is the humble life. I'm allowing God to bring life from heaven down to earth so that other people can experience who He is. And I'm lifting the community up, whether it's the community of believers, the community in which I live in, the community in which I work in. You're offering life to them. You're being Jesus to them. That's what you're doing whenever you're being humble. You're bringing heaven down to earth and allowing God to work through you. That's life. And then the cool thing is you get to experience in heaven too. Because then there's no more tears, there's no more anything, nobody's talking back to you, right? Everything's awesome in heaven. Can't wait to get there. Until then, I'm going to try to bring you down to earth. So again, you have this, this pride versus humility, this root versus the remedy. Everybody struggles with this. Everybody struggles with pride. Every day, everybody struggles with it. You're not a bad person for struggling with it. You're a broken person. Everybody's broken. And God offers healing. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, I pray right now that whatever pride we're holding on to, whatever it is that we're holding on to that's just about me, Lord, that we would just humbly lay this down at the foot of the cross. Lord, less of me and more of You. Less of our kingdom and more of Your kingdom, Father God. But we struggle with this pride every day, Lord, and every time we struggle with it, I pray that we would just surrender it to You, Father God. We want to be made into the image of Your Son, Jesus, who is the image of humility. He didn't have to do what He did. He didn't have to sacrifice His life for us. He didn't have to be beaten for us. He could have called down His army of angels, Lord, but yet He humbly took on the cross for us. so that we could glorify you. So Lord, I pray right now that we would just lay our pride down at your feet and just accept our position of being under you and stop trying to be over you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.